This is the Pathways Podcast. This podcast exists to help you find completeness in Jesus.
Give it up for Silas Frank. So I have two grandpas. Grandpa number one, his name is Jerry. My grandpa Jerry thinks that Jerry is a girl name, and he has since he was a young boy. And so when my grandpa Jerry was a young boy, he changed his name, this is not a joke, to Bear, like a grizzly bear. And so now we don't call him Grandpa Jerry, we call him Grand Bear. And he goes by Bear everywhere he's at. My second grandpa, his name is John. And he was comfortable with the masculinity of the name John. There's a lot of men named John, and so he stuck with it. His name is Grandpa John. I love listening to my Grandpa John tell stories. So tell the story of when his dad, so my great-grandpa, was an orphan in St. Louis. He was 13 years old, and he was working on the river there in St. Louis. And some guy, we don't know his name, came to my great-grandpa and told him that he should leave the river in St. Louis and move to Tulsa to be a part of the booming oil industry there. And so my great-grandpa, at the age of 13, all by himself, somehow moved to Tulsa and started working in the oil fields. When my grandpa tells that story, he's just so proud of his dad, and tears begin to well up in his eyes. And there's another story that my grandpa John will tell that I just see the affection that he has for someone. My grandpa, at the age of 18, moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to San Diego, California, because he had joined the Navy. He was there at the Navy, and my grandpa was not like the most best person, if you will. One time, my grandpa got arrested, and I'll tell you the story of how he got arrested. He and a friend were out at a bar one night, and they were hanging out, and there were some other guys, and my grandpa's friend started to get into a verbal argument with one of the other guys there, and it turned into a physical fight, and this guy and my grandpa's friend started a fist fight, and then some of the other guy's friends started helping the other guy, and they were beating up on my grandpa's friend, and so my grandpa, he had to get into the fight, but it was like 2-7, and so they lost, but not only did they lose, they got arrested in that bar, and the cause of their arrest was for starting a riot, and so he had to go to jail. When he was in jail, they had to give him medical attention because he got beat up. He had busts all over his face, and they had to send somebody in from the Navy. And so a medical nurse, her name was Clara, she went into the jail and started fixing up my grandpa John. And this lady, Clara, would eventually become my grandma Clara because they met in jail because my grandpa got arrested. And so my grandpa was like, this girl is so beautiful. And he was like, I want to get to know her more. But my grandma Claire was like, I have no intentions of getting to know you more, you rebellious rioter. But my grandpa was persistent and he started asking her on dates. And finally, my grandma Claire agreed to go on a date with my grandpa. And by the way, my grandpa was even younger than my grandma. So he was shooting his shot with an older woman and got her to go on a date with her, and he took her ice skating in San Diego. I don't know how it happened, but they went ice skating, and within 5 minutes, my grandpa had fallen on the ice and broken his arm, and my grandma had to fix his arm again. But I love listening to, eventually they got married and had 4 kids, and then I don't know how many grandkids they have. I guess that's my cousins, and I should probably remember, but I'm a part of that, and they have great grandkids now, and it's awesome. But when I listen to my grandpa tell these stories, he's a tough man. He's a rough man. He said a cuss word at me one time when I tipped his lawnmower over. It scared me and I cried. But he's a tough man, a rough man. But when I listen to my grandpa tell these stories of his dad, but especially of his bride, I can just see that my rough and tough grandpa has a heart. And every single one of you has a heart. It was given to you by God. We're starting a series called Renovation of the Heart. Tonight, we are talking about a phrase used in multiple places in the Bible, but primarily Psalm 51 is where we're going to be. So if you have your Bible, you can turn it there to Psalm 51, what Silas just read. One of the first things that Jesus says about the heart is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I want to capture that promise that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. But I have a problem. And the problem that I have is the same problem that you have. That my heart, I have given it to sin time and time again. Yes, I have been cleansed. I have been washed by Jesus. But sometimes I still allow sin in my heart. And sin has a lot of effects on our lives. But one of the things that it does is it blinds us from seeing God. Sin destroys. Sin is disastrous. It permeates until it kills what is good. It's never helpful or healing. Sin is always bad, and one of the things that it does is it blinds us from seeing God. Now, I imagine that I'm not the only one in the room tonight who wants to see God. Sure, there may be some boys in the room who are here because there's a pretty girl here, and they're here for that reason. There's no girls in the room who are here for a boy, because that's why we go to CIY Move, right? So you can chap snat other boys. Oh, that makes me throw up every year in my mouth when you guys do that. But we want to see God. The only problem is that we have sin, and sin blinds us from seeing God. My friend Hunter is going to come up here. Hunter, would you please join me? And would you guys give Hunter a round of applause as he makes his way up to the stage? So Hunter and I, we go way back. We go back to seventh grade. Now, you can just sit there, Hunter, and look right there. I know it's not pretty. I know this is going to be a boring sermon for you because you're just going to see the back of my head and all this stuff right here. Okay? But I trust you. I love you. We've been friends since the seventh grade. Not when I was in seventh grade because you were probably like 2 years old at that time. But since you were in the seventh grade, we've been friends. So he's going to help me out tonight. And what you see in front of Hunter in this physical illustration is indicative of what's happening in your spiritual condition. Let's just say God is out here somewhere. Hunter can't see God because he has something blocking his view. Hunter, in one word, what do you think is blocking your view?
Sin.
Sin. He can see something that you can't see at the moment. And what he sees is his sin. And his sin is keeping him from seeing God. Now, these are just general sins. These aren't Hunter's sins. Hunter and I, we both have to battle sin, and just like you do. So when I show you these sins tonight, don't look at Hunter and be like, uh-oh, it's not his sin. It's just a general list of sins. It may be your sin. But Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And the only problem is that sin has blinded us from that. So the question we have to ask then is, how do we come by a pure heart? Many people have tried to see God in many different ways. One of the ways in which some people try to see God is just by acting like their sin doesn't exist. Hunter can try to ignore this right in front of him. You can try to ignore your literal sin. Oh, Andrea, my wife, a lot of you guys know Andrea. Her favorite superhero is Baby Groot. Anybody else like Baby Groot? Yeah, Baby Groot. So, Baby Groot, in this opening clip of one of the movies, is doing something that a lot of us do with our sin. Would you please roll the clip of Baby Groot? Okay. So, how Baby Groot fights the enemy is how a lot of you fight your sin. You just act like it's not there. When I was a kid, I would have dirty clothes and I would stuff them in the back of my closet. Anybody else do that? Like, I did not want to deal with them. I did not want to wash them. And so I would stick them in the back of my closet and act like they did not exist. The only problem was months later, my parents would force me to clean my room and to clean my closet. And I would find them in the back of my closet worse off than they were before. Some of us try to come by a pure heart by just ignoring our sin, but it does not work because our sin is still there. James, the brother of Jesus, said this in chapter 1 of his letter, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. We don't desire a dead heart. We desire a pure heart in order to see God. And so if acting like our sin doesn't exist, won't produce a pure heart in us, then what will? When I was your age in high school and I had sin in my heart, I tried to see God by just doing better. Like maybe if I'm in the position of Hunter, I can just like walk around my sin, try this or try that, doing better than I had before. And maybe, just maybe, I would begin to see God. But sin is a harsh master when you let it into your life. Our relationship with sin, when we let it rule over us, is like a dog that is on a chain that is staked to the ground. For a little while, he can run at his leisure and at his pleasing, but eventually, before he gets too far into freedom, that chain will jerk his neck back and remind him, "You're not free. I'm in charge of you." And sin will take us captive like that. No, Hunter, and you cannot outdo your sin, because your sin has been outdoing you. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You never saved yourself in the first place. Jesus is always and the only one who will ever be able to save you. So if trying to outdo our sin won't produce a pure heart in us to see God, what will? A lot of people will point out the sin of others. I hear this often. "Yeah, I have my stuff, but have you heard about them? Did you see what they chap snatted?" I hate Snapchat. "Did you see what she's wearing? Did you see who was smoking in the locker room?" We look at other people's sin, and maybe if we can just look at other people's sin, we'll be able to see God. All the while, our sin is still right here. I was preaching last week. I was not here last Wednesday, and it hurt my feelings that only one of you texted me and said that you missed me. Spencer, thank you, buddy. Yeah, senior boys back there. Sometimes I can't even see the senior boys right now, but I just believe they're back there because Gabe McDonald was swaying with me during the song, so I know he's back there unless they left as soon as I got up on stage. But I wasn't here. One of my friends who's a youth pastor on the other side of Joplin is having some health issues, and so he asked me on Tuesday if I would come preach, and I did. And I went there, and I was talking a little bit about you guys, and I was talking about our youth group and what we're about and what we do, and I was just describing you guys as a group. And I'll tell you what I was telling them. I told them that you guys don't have a communal sin of disrespect. Most of you are very respectful to Peyton and I and to your leaders and to the other volunteers who are here. But we don't have an issue of disrespect. I also said I don't think we have an issue of immaturity. Most of you are very mature for your age. You take care of the building. You have good conversations. Your jokes are pure and fun and about Chapsnat and boys from Indiana you met at MOVE. So gross. But I also told them, this is one of my favorite parts, that I don't think our youth group has an issue with like pursuing Jesus. A lot of you guys are in discipleship groups. A lot of you guys are preaching at Devos, at FCA, and at Water Gardens and serving there. A lot of you guys are, one of the things that I don't, like I said, Chapsnat 100 times. Now, I don't have a Chapsnat because I hate it. But I do have the Bible app because I'm a Christian. And I'm friends not with you guys on Chapsnat, but with you on the Bible app. And I love seeing that you guys are completing Bible reading plans and highlighting verses and taking notes. Caius Legg finishes like 6 Bible reading plans a week. He just rests on Sunday. He took a note. Look at this. Caius adds a note on Galatians 6:11. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. His note: Paul discovered caps lock, which is so funny. I love that. I literally laughed out loud when I saw Caius make that note. Because in the scripture, when Paul writes his letters, he would have somebody write them down for him as he would speak them, but he might finish his letter and he would write them in large handwriting so you knew it was Paul's. And I shouldn't have explained the joke because that makes it less funny. Darn it. Man, I'm not good at this stuff. So I didn't tell them that you guys have like an issue with pursuing Jesus, because I think that a lot of you do. We have a very large group of what we call core students who are in groups and who are almost always here and are going on trips and serving and all that. I'm very proud of that. I don't think we have a communal issue of not trying to pursue Jesus. I think that if we have a communal sin, it's the sin of the older brother. And I think that that's probably our sin because it's probably one of my sins as well. You know the story from Luke chapter 15, there was a dad and he had two sons. Most of you know the story, so I'll make it kind of short. The younger son took the father's inheritance, wishing that he was dead, ran off to a faraway land and engaged in wild and reckless living. He sinned and he lost all of his money. He had to get a job at a pig farm. And the conditions there were so bad that he decided, maybe, just maybe, my father will take me back as a servant if I go back home. And so he made the way back home and his father came running to him and he embraced him and he threw a party for him. And he said, "The son of mine was dead, but now he was alive. He was lost and now he is found." Luke chapter 15, verse 24 says that they began to celebrate the return of this son. He didn't come back home as a slave. He came back home as a son. And everybody was happy. They were feasting and celebrating and partying, except for one person, the older brother, the other son that the father had. Where was he? Far away. Most people remember the story and they think about the younger son who went far away from the father. There was another son who went far away from the father. Sure, it might not have been the same distance in miles, but maybe spiritual condition. And the father had to go all the way to that older son. And he says, "Son, what's going on?" Luke 15, verse 28, "The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" A couple of Wednesdays ago, two Wednesdays ago to be exact, I was sitting out there in the lobby eating my burger, whatever we had that night. I was sitting there with a group of boys and at a table across the way, there was another group of boys. And then you know exactly what I'm talking about, where you walk in and there's the check-in table. Some young man who I had not seen before, or I had seen him before, but I had not seen him in a long time, walked in and checked in. And somebody at the other table said, "What's he doing here? This is church." And some of the other boys at the table laughed. And I was looking specifically for that young man tonight, and he is not here. What's he doing here? Man, maybe he's trying to rest in the love of the Father. Like, maybe he needs goodness in his life, grace in his life, like every single one of us need. We will not see God by pointing out the sins of others. Jesus responds harshly to this sin. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We will not see God by pointing out the sins of others. So how do we come by a pure heart? The answer that I have found in Scripture will be hard for this youth group because of the sin that we struggle with together. The answer is confession. King David committed adultery and he committed murder, two egregious sins. And he tried to hide up one, and then he was trying to do good as a king, but nothing was working. His sin was still with him. And one day his pastor, this man named Nathan, came to him and he began to tell him a story. A story about a rich man and a poor man who lived in the same town. The rich man had all kinds of livestock. The poor man had one lamb. There was a visitor coming into the town and he asked for a meal. And the rich man took the lamb from the poor man, the one lamb that he had had. And Nathan said, "What should be done to this rich man?" And David said, "This man should die." And then Nathan, his pastor, looked at him and said, "That man is you." And David responds in Psalm chapter 51 with the prayer of confession and the request of a pure heart. "Have mercy on me, O God,
according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. But restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So the question I'm asking is, how do we come by a pure heart? If you don't hear anything else tonight, I want you to hear this. By the confession of your sin and the request of a pure heart. Hunter's been sitting up here and he has not been looking at God. He's been looking at sin. And his physical illustration that he is helping me with is indicative of your spiritual condition for some of you. And what you need to do if you want to see God is you need to confess your sin to God. And when you confess your sin to God, he begins to tear away at the sin in your life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What I'm doing right now in this physical illustration is what I'm encouraging all of you to do in your relationship with God tonight. For when God begins to take away the sin in your life, you can be like Hunter and you don't see your sin anymore. What you can see is the God who loves you. For sin is blocking your view of God because it is destroying your heart. And my request of you tonight is to confess your sin and make your own request of God that he might create in you a clean heart, a pure heart. And remember this, the one to whom we confess is not bad. He is only good. And he will honor your request. Would you guys thank Hunter for helping me out tonight? I know that because I said this as well, that for confession for some of you will be very hard. Confess my sin to other people? That's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. For darkness has been ruling in your heart. But when you expose your sin to the light, God will heal you of your sin. Tonight in your small group, what we're going to do is called our two-word testimony. On the first side of your paper, you're going to write where you are or where you were. This is going to be something like a sin or a vice in your life that you're dealing with or something that you have dealt with. On the other side of the paper, you're going to write a virtue or of godliness. So for example, if you're struggling with hate, you might write hate on the front side. And that's your confession of sin. And your request to God is, God, would you create in me a loving heart? And so on the other side of the paper, you would write love. We're going to do that in our small group time tonight. And we're going to share our testimonies and our requests and our confessions with the people that we love. Are you serious? James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Father, tonight, as my friends and I, as we talk about our sin and confessing it, and God, as we petition you to give us a pure heart, Father, you are good, and I know that you will honor it. For you are faithful and just. And you will forgive us and cleanse us and create in us a pure heart from all unrighteousness. Father, give my friends courage to do that tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. We hope that this teaching is helping you discover completeness in Jesus and encourages you to help others do the same. If you're interested in learning more about Christ Church, visit us online at cco.church.